Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. Take your Bibles and turn. I'm going to read from the New International Version. Turn to the Old Testament. 2 Kings, a very familiar passage of Scripture that I did not intend on preaching, but having been visited by the Lord in a dream, I will preach this message and this text, which I have preached many times. I had a recurring dream. I heard this message being preached, and then as I heard it being preached, then I saw myself preaching it, and I woke up, and I said, Lord, preached that. And I said, okay, but like, Lord, they've heard it before. Well, they haven't really heard it. Many people have not heard it. Do it again. It's going to change lives. It's going to mark people. It's going to bring great breakthrough. How many of you need some breakthrough? The message you're about to hear is a message that has made us who we are. It's the reason you're sitting in this building right now, because without it, it wouldn't have happened. I've entitled it a little bit of a newer title from previous messages from 2 Kings 6. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. 2 Kings 6, find the 13th verse, and as soon as you're there, stand up on your feet and let's read 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13 to 17. Are you ready? Go and find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men to capture him. The report came back. He's in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots, a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh, no. My lord, what should we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let's all say that together in whatever version you have. Ready, set, go. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. In verse 17, the final verse this morning from this main text, Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace towards us, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. Release your power right now. Come on, ask God to speak to you today. Release your power right now. Speak to us, your people, out of the volume of your word, not a lecture. We're not here for some ear tickling or some religious exercise. Oh God, release what you showed me in that dream last night. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people being impacted by vision from heaven. Release vision. Open my eyes. Come on, say that. Open my eyes. And we thank you and we praise you ahead of time. Put your best hand clap together for God all across this place. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's going to open your eyes today. Go ahead and tell him. Recently, I preached a message that I've preached numerous times before as well, and I can't help but think that the Lord is doing something in repetition. In sports, you need to play and practice. In fact, as you practice, you will play in the game. There's repetition. There's exercises. There's calisthenics. There's drills that you do to get good at whatever sport that might be. The same is true in everything that you do. You have to learn, you have to grow, and it's important to repeat things and to get it down in your spirit. And this is one of those messages. I preached on binding and loosing to my staff just recently to hundreds of pastors in India. We preached to them on binding and loosing. They were deeply encouraged and strengthened and learned some things from God's word. And this passage is a passage and a message that has made kings who we are. Elijah the prophet knows the attacks that are coming upon Israel, and he warns the king of Israel, and they're ready for whenever the attack comes from Aram. And so the king of Aram is so frustrated because he's like, we have a spy. There's a mole in here. Somebody knows. Somebody's telling him. And they're like, yeah, there ain't no mole. It's a prophet. Come on, somebody say it's a prophet. It's a prophet. Amos 3:7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without first revealing his plan to the prophets. And so God speaks to prophets, and God speaks to this man of God to tell them where all the attack is coming from. And the king is like, that's it. Let's attack him, which is like a spirit of stupid to me. I mean, if the prophet knows that you're attacking, you would be certain that God would be telling the prophet that he's about to be attacked, but it's fascinating that he doesn't. But God brings breakthrough another way. Sometimes you can get used to the way that God brings deliverance and freedom. He's so multifaceted, he doesn't always move the same way twice. He's unique. So he's at Dothan, everything's good, they're relaxed. And then the servant gets up to make a cup of French roast for the prophet. I'm confident that's what he did. I'm reading into the text, but he gets up early and he sees that they're surrounded by the army of the enemy. And he's crippled with fear. He's terrified. And he wakes up the prophet, and the prophet encourages him to open his eyes. Elijah's servant responds with fear, right in your notes now. Elijah's servant responds with fear. And Elijah's response is not one of fear, but one of confidence. And you got to ask yourself, well, why was he confident? Years ago, I was getting a sandwich from Qdoba. It's when I ate bread, about 25 years ago. Jesus. Having a sandwich, it was turkey, bacon, avocado, toasted. I think they were the first sandwich toasting people, Qdoba. While I'm paying for my sandwich and Pastor Karen's sandwich, I hear this horrible screaming from behind me outside in the courtyard of this mall that we were in. And everybody's attention is staring outside, and people are shrieking in fear. So I turn and I look, and I see these two kids with knives trying to stab each other. I don't know. Some people are wired up. Maybe it was a spirit of stupid, but then again, maybe it was something else. I don't know. I left my wallet. I left my sandwich, and I ran to outside the Qdoba, and I said, hey, and these boys froze, and they looked at me, and they just take off running. And I was like, well, behind me was Goliath. Behind me was like 6'10". I mean, he was huge. So I said, hey, stop that. And they take off running, and I hear this booming voice over my head. If he's not big enough, I am. I thought, oh my God. And it was this massive mountain of a man. I was like, I wanted to run myself. But after that, I turned off like, the guy's behind me, and I'm all, you know that's right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I had a confidence because someone much bigger, much more powerful, the servant of the prophet, had fear because he could not see. This morning, God's going to open your eyes. This morning, God's going to release vision. This morning, I'm going to preach to you a message that if you can get it down in the city of your soul and internalize it and activate it. In fact, I saw people leaving with new vision. No, he responds with confidence because he has vision. He saw the army of God. For a moment this morning, God, open your eyes. Everything will be different in your life. Everything will be different in your life. Went to dinner recently with my wife, and I forgot my glasses. The joke is they were in my pocket, so I thought I forgot them. And we were sitting together, and everything was blurry. I borrowed her glasses, and I remember looking over at her face. I was like, oh, you're so beautiful. Listen, the way you see things determines a lot. All right, two types of vision. What is vision? There's two types. Literal vision. Everybody say literal. What is vision? Roman number two, literal vision. What is a literal vision? Ezekiel had a vision. He saw a wheel within a wheel. Daniel had a vision. I watched, it says in Daniel 7 and verse 9 and 10, there were thrones put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. He had a vision of the Ancient of Days. He had a vision of God, which changed him. And he wrote the book of Daniel, which is very pertinent to the hour in which we live, along with the book of Revelation. Paul had a vision in Acts 16. It's having a supernatural encounter where your eyes are opened from God. Now, there's visions, I'm sure, from hell. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about a vision from God, a literal vision. They said, well, I've never had one of those. That's okay. You can have the other kind of vision if you've never had a literal one. We've had literal visions, and we've had these other kind of two types of vision for this morning, a hope vision. Everybody say a hope vision. In the literal vision in Acts 16, Paul sees a man from Damascus, and by that he determines, Macedonia, thank you. You get a gold star. Macedonia. So he has a vision from a man from Macedonia. From that determines we're supposed to go to Macedonia. All right. Vision, a literal vision. A hope vision, that's different. It's when you have a burning desire or a burden to do something, like Paul in Acts 15, in Romans 15. It's a vision from the heart. It's a dream. We just finished a series called Living the Dream, a dream. Everyone can have a dream. Everyone should have a dream. Everyone should have hope in their heart that God's going to do something. What is that something? Vision is the beginning of the miracle. God gives vision before he brings about the miracle. Say that. Say, God gives vision before he brings the vision, a hope vision or a little vision. Vision is the beginning of your miracle. So if you're blind and you don't see, you don't have hope, you don't have a desire, you don't have a burden, you don't have a vision, whether it be literal or a hope vision or a heart vision, and you don't have that, you'll have a tendency to drop out of life. Where there's no widespread revelation in the day of Samuel, people cast off restraint. If you don't have something to live for, you're going to end up settling for anything. And God, very clearly throughout all of the scriptures, points to the fact that we have a dream that he wants us to fulfill, a plan that he wants us to fulfill. We're in the midst of that here at Kings, fulfilling the 12:120. My wife and I, my family, we have dreams, we have hopes, we have vision. Do you have vision? Because if you don't, you need to get some. Everybody say, get some. Yeah, and may you get some this morning. So there's examples here. Genesis 15, Abraham. Genesis 15, let me read this to you. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can indeed count them. Count the stars, if you can indeed count them. Go ahead. Thank you so much. Now, what's amazing to me is that God would do that. In fact, if you look at the Hebrew, he says, Abraham, now look. The word in the Hebrew is a pleading word. Would you be Abraham for me for just a moment? You're too young to be Abraham, but I'm going to be God. You be Abraham. So God comes to him and says, Abraham, go ahead and dim those lights again. Please look. Please look at the stars. More numerable will your descendants be than the stars of the sky. Thank you, Abraham. Whoa. Why would God say, look, and nah is the Hebrew. Why would God say, please? It's please look. It's like he's begging him. Why would God beg us for anything? Why would God do that? Because God wants to partner with you. And if Abraham couldn't see that, then there was going to be no offspring that came. To the degree that you have visions, the degree that miracle can be released, the degree that you have visions, the degree that faith is released, and you'll see it through all of these different examples. Abraham is one of my favorite. Because when vision comes, when hope comes, faith is released. And every time he went outside, he looked up and be like, oh yeah. I might not have kids right now, but I'm going to have a lot, apparently. It is said of Abraham that he believed God, it was accredited to him as righteousness. And there's lots of examples. Joseph just preached a whole series on it. Jacob is another example. Genesis 37, made a deal with Laban. In fact, Dr. Yonggi Cho, or Dr. Cho Yonggi, uses this text to call, as part of his book called The Fourth Dimension. It would be mandatory reading for anybody who wants to do anything in the kingdom of God. The fourth dimension, dimension of faith and vision. He used an example of these in this particular city in Korea. There's more twins in that city than anywhere else. And it just so happens that there's these two twin peaks, these twin mountains in that city. He uses that as an example. And he believes that because people are constantly looking at doubles, it's just done something for them. And he said, well, that doesn't have anything to do with biology. No, it doesn't, but it does have everything to do with faith. And Uncle Laban made a deal with Jacob, and Jacob got this concocted idea to take sticks that are whittled, and he put them in front of the feeding troughs, and there were specked and spotted sticks, and that the goats and the sheep would make speckled and spotted offspring. How many of you know that that doesn't work with geneticists? That's not how that works. Unless, of course, you understand that faith can use two sticks. Faith, if it releases faith, it does not matter how foolish it might be to a geneticist. Faith changes things. And when you have a hope vision, when you dream a literal vision, a hope vision, a dream in your heart, and you begin to move in that direction, God will release miracles. You see it in Jacob. You see it in Moses. You see it in the Old Testament. Characters like Elijah. And you certainly see it with Paul. Why does God do things that way? Well, that's a good question. There's three reasons. One, it's his nature to do so. God speaks, God acts, God speaks again. He speaks to a Moses. He gets his attention by a burning bush, a sign and a wonder. He speaks to a Moses. Moses feels inadequate, but God helps him, lets his brother help him. He speaks, go and bring them back so that they may worship me. That's the word. So he goes to Egypt. You know all the story. Eventually he comes back. When he comes back, he gets the next set of instructions. God speaks, God acts, God speaks again. It's because each step is a further disclosure of God and his ways. Each step, God is trying to lead us and guide us and direct us. Vision is progressive. Say that. Vision's progressive. How many of you started with something in a business maybe, and you started obeying in that, and you moved in that direction, all of a sudden, boom, it expands. We had three extensions all those years ago. Now we have 700. We call it progressive apostolic vision. That was coined by Dr. Morocco. Apostolic, we're apostolic in what we're doing as a church. We're church planting organization, planting churches all over the world. Missions, we have a desire to see the kingdom of God preached in every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. We've been given the great commandment to go into all the world, and we're attempting to do that. It's a command. So when we first started, it was wonderful, but it expanded. In fact, because of that expansion, there's a church here in Alaska. Come on, somebody say, woo! And I think it's the way of God, that God is saying that we're important to him. We're vital to the process. Come on, someone raise a hand to heaven and say, I'm important to God. That's not arrogant, it's biblical. Come on, say, I'm important to God. I'm important to God. Why would Moses be able to intercede and work things out and over the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah and so many other times where he would like negotiate like a good Jewish man with the Lord? negotiating. Why would God have intercessors? Why wouldn't God use angels to preach the gospel? Why? Because he wants to use you. He wants to use me. We're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. Why didn't he tend the garden all by himself? Adam, he chose Adam. And they messed up. But I mean, why didn't he just do it himself? Because it's God's nature and his character to do it. The way it's God's way of saying we're important to him and we're vital to the process. And by giving us vision, I think it's another way that God is testing us to see if we'll believe him or not. Come on, someone say, I'm in the midst of a test. Vision will encourage us when things get difficult. And my God, I have story after story after story of extreme difficult. One of my favorite ones is when we first got here. I've told the story plenty of times. The church had this white Chevy plow truck. I drove it to Delta Junction along with Jason and Aaron, my mama, who's on a few rows back. Good morning, Mom. And we went and we did a meeting over there, and then we had two vehicles. My mother was with me in the truck. Jason and Aaron, his wife, before he had like 15 kids. God bless him. Oh, sorry, four. Four can feel like 15. And Pastor Kirsten said amen somewhere. Okay. So it was very cold. Pastor Karen, how cold was it? It was 50 below zero, and it warmed up to a balmy 40. Balmy 40 below. So I did not know that you should put heat in the gas tank of the vehicle, and I didn't know about putting cardboard in the front so that cold air didn't, you know, just rush into the vehicle. Anyway, what ended up happening is the gas gelled, and the fuel pump died, and it left me on the side of the road. Being the wise man that I was, I put my beautiful mother in the car with the evangelist, and I stayed with the vehicle to wait for help. Knowing now, I would not do that because there might not be help coming. And I'm told now if it got really bad, you set the vehicle on fire. So anyway, if you're ever stuck somewhere in the tundra in a vehicle and you need help, just set the tires on fire and warm up and let it be a smoke signal for you. And in that vehicle, as I'm waiting to be rescued, which eventually happened, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here, I started to go into hypothermia. I started going to sleep. All I could think is don't go to sleep and cotton will kill you. That's the only thing I can think about. Cotton will kill you. Don't go to sleep. How many of you know cotton will kill you? All right. Well, that's all I'm wearing. That's all I'm wearing is cotton. I got my stupid little bunny boots on, which don't do jack when it's really cold. Come on, somebody say amen. And so as I have fear coming all over me and I realize I'm dying, Lord, I have fear because I can't see. I lost my vision for a moment, and then I realized by the power of the Holy Spirit, and there had to be people praying for me, power of the Spirit, I realized the vision that brought me here to Alaska had not come to pass. It still hasn't come to pass, only in portion. I saw a great revival all those years ago is what moved us up here. Saw a great revival, saw an outpouring of the Spirit, the golden oil of Zechariah will flow. I think that meeting with President Trump and Putin is a part of the golden oil. It's going to flow. I believe something's happening in our state. I believe we're an upper room for the nation. I believe that God is pouring out the golden oil of Zechariah, which is in relation to the building of the house of prayer, the building of the church in context of Zechariah. And so I realized I don't see any outpouring. I think our church is shrinking and I'm dying on the side of the road. And I realized this isn't it. This is not it. And I began to prophesy. God, you sent me up here to see a great revival. God, you sent me to be a part of a great outpouring in the state of Alaska where the golden oil will flow. I don't hardly see any oil, but this ain't it. I'm not dying. God, you're releasing your power right now. You're going to bring it to pass. And I just lost my ever-loving mind praying in emergency tongues, prophesying, speaking the vision, declaring the vision over my life, over this church, which we're living in it. And when I was done, I took my own offering. I was warm. I was warm, head to toe, hot. And the state trooper pulled up with a message from my mother. I got out. The state trooper cracked his window about this big. And he said, you called? I said, yeah. He said, okay. And he slides me a granola bar. As God is my witness, slides me a granola bar. He says, your mommy sent this to you. I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Mom, for the granola bar. And then he looked at me. I said, can I get in your vehicle? He said, yeah. He let me in the plastic seats in the back. Some of you know full well what those are like. Others of you don't. Molded plastic seats in the back with a little window. And he'd opened the window. I said, can you turn the heat up? He turned the heat up, and I forced my hulking mass through the window, looking at the police officer or the state trooper warming my hands. Vision will encourage you when times get difficult. What is the vision that God has given you for your family? What is the vision that God's given you for your business? What is the vision that God's given you for your ministry? What is the vision that God's given you for your marriage, for your children? It might not be a literal vision like some have had, but you can have a burden. You can have a desire. You can have a hope. You can have a dream. Lift your hands to heaven and say, God, open my eyes. God, open my eyes. This church is filled with visionaries, and God wants to put that on you because vision is the beginning of a miracle. And when vision's fulfilled, who gets all the glory? God gets all the glory, not us. Who gets the glory when it comes to pass? God. You be sure to give it to him. God gets all the glory. Vision has been a key to understanding this church. It's a key to understanding why and how we do things. Vision. Come on, say it again. Say, Lord, open my eyes. All right, how does vision come? How does vision come? Well, I see a number of ways. And keep in mind that vision's a fight. Because the devil doesn't want you, Satan doesn't want you to have vision. Without vision, my people perish. There's a lot of perishing happening in the body of Christ because people don't dream. Dream! 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 Have vision for your life. It's a plan and a purpose for you. So there's a fight. God gives vision four ways. Number one, I've been mentioning it, through a burden. Nehemiah had a burden to see the walls rebuilt. You can go to Israel today and stand and look at what's called the Broad Wall. So much opposition, but he built that thing. They made fun of him. They said foxes will climb on it and knock down these burnt stones. Can anybody build anything with burnt stones? Nehemiah, you fool. I mean, they made fun of him, and he built it, and it's there today. You can go and look at it. You can have a burden like Daniel Wine. Daniel Wine was a pastor on our staff. He had a burden for the homeless and the broken in Maui and the Hawaiian Islands, and he knew every single person and every bush they slept under. He knew them by name, and he would lead them to Christ, and he would have ministry on the beach, and a whole ministry was started really because of Daniel Wine. And that became the ministry that's there like Transformations. That was the start of it. He went and we began to feed them, began to help them, began to clothe them. That was the start, the early days of Transformation, because someone had a burden. Someone's got to do something for these homeless, broken people. And we did. Hallelujah. God can give you a burden and through that release vision to you. Release vision. Another way it can come is through a challenge, David and Goliath. David is challenged. He was challenged. Through the challenge, he responded and dropped the fat-headed, uncircumcised one that everybody was terrified of. Early on in the building project, this building project, I had somebody tell me we can't do it. I had an, I won't name names. You can go back and find out because I was a little bit more mouthy when I was younger, like 6 months ago. But I literally had somebody say, that's impossible. It's too big. And they laughed. I don't mean like kind of laughed and snickered, you know, that would be rude enough. I mean like laughed, like laughing. And then when they finally got like a hold of themselves, what? Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's impossible. That's the response. It's too big. This is Wasilla. You can't do that. Meeting was then over. I stood up And I was thinking about this yesterday. I think I should go thank them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm wired up in a way, then just go ahead and tell me I can do it. When God said you can, and God called me with a vision and called us with a vision, with a purpose, and said you'll do it, and then go ahead and tell me I can, because what it does is just be like, oh yeah, it's a watch, you watch, I'll invite you, it's gonna be amazing. And we're sitting at a miracle for which we give God all the glory. Come on, somebody say amen. It was a challenge. You can't do that. Well, if God said you can, then I can. Another way that vision comes is through a prophetic word. I have lots of those. We have a power conference and prophesy over thousands of people. We prophesy regularly here. The gifts of the Spirit are an operation. Prophecy, a prophetic word. How many of you got a prophetic word? I'm living my prophetic words. There's other ones that I'm not sure about, and we just sort of put them on the prophetic shelf. But many times prophecy, which is encourages, strengthens, and comforts, will release to you great faith and vision. Another way, the fourth way is through experience. Is it the fourth way or third way? Through an experience, either personally or vicariously. I remember being invited to Baton Rouge, Louisiana as a young pastor, which I still am, but I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I went to a church there where the Stockstills were the pastors, and they were full of vision. They had like 1,000 kids in their youth group. I think they had over 1,000 small groups. We're believing God for 200 small groups in the fall. They had over 1,000. So I just like talking to people like that. Why? Because something gets on you. Something happens when you have fellowship with people that are visionary. It gets on you. And I've been deeply impacted by Dr. Morocco. We bought a building that we had no congregation for. It was a totally an insane move. If you're an economist, you'd have looked and gone, oh, you've just signed your death certificate there. But God, it's impossible, more numerous than the stars, and everything's not working, Abraham, but yet here we are, people of faith, and there Israel stands secure with the blessing of God, his chosen people, brought through Abraham. Abraham believed God. Will you believe God? Will you believe God for vision? Will you believe God? Will you believe God? A hope vision, a burden. Will you receive a challenge? May you receive an impartation right now. Pastors have told me, you know, by you guys building that building just gave me courage that I can build something. I said, do it, bro. Let's go. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, let's go. Don't be blind anymore. Don't be in fear anymore. So I go into Baton Rouge and lots of different places that I've gone. Spend time with different ones who've changed the world. Why would you do that? Because it gets on you. I've done more rod and reel fishing this year than I've ever done in my life. And I have every intention of doing more. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I am a better fisherman today, by my estimation, than I've ever been before. And the reason is because one, I began to do it. Two, I looked at some reels and read some stuff. Three, I spent time with Fisher Dude over here, Brother Angler, and I watched him. And I'm gonna get better and better just because I just like improving. Anybody else like improving? I couldn't even catch a fish till I went with my dear brother Gino, who was taught by his dad. It's interesting, actually, that this property was brought to the attention of us by Gino. I love that. I love this multi-generational blessing. We went down to the Russian River. He brought me to his favorite fishing hole. I don't know if it's favorite, but I'm fishing with him. He's like, no, bro, not like that. And he's going to get the wrong weight. You got to feel it bounce. He just coached me, and I started killing fish. You know, one of my favorite things to do, talking about receiving vision and hope, receiving faith by hanging out with people that are full of vision and full of hope. One of my favorite things, don't judge, I love going down and seeing all those Montana boys and Sims trying to catch fish, and they're like, yeah, they ain't running, they can't catch anything. And I'm just go, oh, yeah. Just kind of land that and go get another one, limit out in about an hour, and everybody's like, what the bird? And after we limit out, we coach them. All right, vision's a work of the Holy Spirit. So we must keep vision burning. Got to keep vision burning brightly. Next point on the notes. Vision is a work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you gotta stay on fire. You've got to stay on fire. There's all kinds of things that wants to pour water on your fire. Circumstances, obstacles, problems. You know what problems are? They're really opportunities for promotion. Problems are like a springboard to leap you into the next place in God. Don't look down your nose at them. Rejoice in the midst of it. Not because of it. Rejoice in the midst of trials and suffering, knowing that God is working something in you, fulfilling his plan, fulfilling his purpose. Therefore, you gotta stay on fire. Come on, someone say you gotta stay on fire. How do you do that? By seeking the Lord through fasting and prayer. By seeking the Lord through fasting and prayer. By having others pray for us. I'm gonna pray for you here in a moment. We're gonna make a decree. So important to have people pray for you. During this time of grief and sorrow, I needed prayer. I had lots of people praying for me, but I called my pastor. I called Dr. Morocco. Talked to Pastor Josh as well. But Dr. Morocco said, oh, that's hard. Let me pray for you. He prayed for me and God touched me. Could it be that you've not moved on to the next place in your dream, in your hope, in your vision, because you have not been partnered rightly in the body of Christ and you don't have anybody praying for you? We all need each other. You need people to pray. We have others pray for us. The next thing, by writing it down. How do you keep it burning brightly? Write it down. Make it plain. Give it to the messengers. They would run with it. What is God going to do? What is the dream? What is the vision? Boldly write it down. And don't just write it down, decree it, declare it. I'm going to tell you many times in my home, my wife and I will stop and we just are in full voice declaring what God's going to do. If you were to drive by at any time in the building process here, there were times where there was some bald guy out there screaming, like, that's that insane pastor. Yep, call me insane if you want. But here we are. You've got to speak it out. What is God going to do? You've got to declare it. You've got to proclaim it. You've got to get fire down in your belly and begin to declare it. God is going to fill in the blank. And that releases faith and miracles. And there's got to be a boldness. This is not in there, but you got to write it down and speak it forth. That requires boldness. And I don't share everything with everybody because there are people that are swine, whether you realize it or not. And of course, they're loved by God. God died for them, yes. But there are people that cannot see past their nose, their big, warted nose. They can't see it. So they want to just put damp in you and shut you up and get you to be quiet. No, you share vision with like-minded people who will get around you and pray. You get in a place where you say, well, this is what I believe God's going to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you get the word and you pray, you fast, you write it down. And then you take action. You by acting on the vision you have. Act on the vision you have. Stand up on your feet all across this place. Read with me. It's on the screen. We're going to make this decree. Let me pray first, and then we'll make the decree. Father, in your mighty name, I come against every blinding assignment of fear. I come against every assignment that would try to cripple your people and live beneath a God-given, blood-bought right and dominion and power. I pray that small plans would be eradicated and that big plans would be released. A vision would be released for our homes, for our family, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our marriages. A vision would be released for business owners. Inventions would be released. Supernatural dreams and vision. Release literal vision. Release literal vision and hope vision as well. And that through that, God, we would partner with, as you said to Abraham, please, please see, please look, please Abraham, please John, please Susan, please, please open your eyes and look. More numerable will be your descendants than the stars of the sky. And Abraham, John, Susan, believed God and it was accredited unto him as righteousness. God will release his power through those who will dream. Don't live a mediocre, sad sack Christianity. Live boldly. Make plans from God. Receive plans from him that if he doesn't come through, it'd be horribly embarrassing. It's got to come from God, though. You can't just have a pipe dream. I've known people that can't clean their own car, don't pay their bills. They're like, no, I'm going to Botswana. And I'm like, are you going to start brushing your teeth? You're going to start taking care of what he's already given you? You know, I've got this massive dream, and they just jump off a cliff. I've seen that before. I'm going to be a martyr, but you can't daily die for him and pick up your cross now. There's a process by which God will mature you. Please don't run out and do some insanity when you can't do the vision of living holy and pure before him now. How are you going to do it when people are throwing spears at you? Open eyes now. Read this with me. I decree and declare that my eyes are open. Come on, out loud. I decree and declare that my eyes are open to see what God sees. I will not be moved by fear, but by faith in the one who surrounds me with his power. The vision God has planted in my heart will grow, and it will come to pass. I see the fulfillment before it happens, and I will walk in it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will not lose hope. I will not quit. I will not be blinded by the enemy's lies. I choose to see the armies of the Lord, not the armies of the enemy. I believe the miracle is already in motion, and I will live to see it fulfilled in Jesus' name. Shout amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.